Welcome to Local Matter Sports. This is your host, Sam Brooks, and I've got my co-host from All Good Middle School, Mackenzie Vester, in the house again today. Welcome back to the show, Mackenzie.
Hello, everyone.
So Mackenzie is in the All Good Media class, and she's kind of interning here with me a little bit
yes.
for a couple of shows, but we appreciate having her in the studio. And our guest today is Miss Barbie Cook, Coach Barbie Cook from Upperman High School Volleyball. We had her on the show back during the season, and we're going to get to find out a little bit about how her season went this year and some other stuff. So welcome back to the show, Barbie.
Thank you.
So, Barbie, let's kind of touch back on what you do and just fill everybody in to what you do during the day, just so we give them a little feedback. Tell us a little bit again about family, your husband, maybe a little bit.
Okay. We are... still rolling with our tree business. My husband is Brian Cook, and then we stay busy with our two kids, Carter and Braylee Cook. I work in the school system, so that keeps us very busy along with coaching and then running our businesses. So we stay pretty productive and on the go.
Yeah, and your daughter acts as my assistant DJ every now and then, so I got to get back in there and get her doing that again.
She loves it.
Yeah, she's good. She's good. So let's dive right in, Barbie. So in the school system now, working for the school system, but you travel during volleyball season. And, you know, let's fill the folks in a little bit about what it means to be a head volleyball coach in high school. And we'll get into off season in a little bit. So, you know, we're in May right now, end of the season. So, you know, last year's team, you already had your banquets and your awards, and we'll talk about that in a little bit. But as you go into next year, what are you preparing for right now as we're in May right now?
Right now, we've had a few spring, you know, open gyms. So I've kind of got to see who wants to come out, who's interested, got to look at some of the girls and see what they've been working with as well. So we've been doing that. I'm also interested to see what's coming from our middle schools, just to see and how our team can grow and build from there.
So you talk about open gym, and what does that mean nowadays? So open gym, you can't be in there coaching, but they can come and play.
Correct. Yes. So they can have, you know, the team there, but I mean, I can't do anything. So, I mean, I can see who shows up and who's out there and kind of look in and see what's going on, but I cannot conduct any practices whatsoever. So, but it's nice to see who shows up and, you know, who's interested and kind of see what's going to be at tryouts as well.
Basically giving them a safe space, you know, to be able to come and work on their volleyball skills, because volleyball is not something, I mean, you can do some stuff at home, but there's not a lot of area spaces that you can get with other people. And, you know, besides just, you know, bumping the ball, passing the ball back and forth.
Right.
That gives them a space with other folks there, and it gives you the opportunity to really define who's motivated to be there.
Right. And, you know, it's not an easy setup. You have to come in, you have to put the nets up, you have to, I mean, it's conducting of a pole, a net, an antenna. I mean, it's just a lot of setup. So it takes a lot to get two teams set up, three teams. I mean, however many you've got working, because it's six per court. And so if you have a large number, then you have to set more nets up. So it is it's kind of a production. So,
yeah. But, you know, seeing that motivation of the student athlete to give up their time to be over there and practice their skills has got to
right.
be beneficial. You know, and some play other sports and some are involved in other things. So you know that. But just giving them the opportunity where you can kind of watch.
Right. Well, and you know, what I love about it is whenever they ask, hey, when are we having an open gym? Because, you know, with basketball, volleyball and those indoor sports, you know, volleyball is kind of on the rise for things right now. And it's a great sport that's starting to grow nationally as well. And we're trying to make it grow here. You know, we have a lot of our girls that play off season with travel ball, just so that they can get into those scholarship modes and kind of recruiting process as well, because they want to play ball in college.
Yes. So as being the coach, what do you do to prepare your athletes for the season? Like, even though you can't coach them, what do you do to help them to be prepared for the season?
So we have come up with our workout plans. Also, I've given them information about upcoming camps at universities, different universities. Like, I have setters that want to work more with setting, so I show them camps that they can go to, or my hitters want to work on hitting. But I always tell them to learn every position on the court, because you never know what's going to be open for varsity or what's going to be available.
Yes. Also, what, like, fundraisers do you do, like, to promote your, like, team?
So with fundraising, we've kind of had to learn with that process, just because this volleyball program did not really do fundraising. Mm-hmm. So we've kind of seen what could work and what didn't work. So right now we do what they call the square. So it's kind of like, you know, you can donate what you want to with each square for that athlete. We also did a Boston butt and bologna sale, which was really beneficial for us. One of my dads had done that, and it was amazing. Then we do our banners, and our banners are our largest sale, but that's advertisement throughout the season in our gym. So whenever people come and go, the businesses are locally advertised, which also helps our girls as well.
What do you like do with the money?
A growing program, it is always beneficial each year, and I'm always looking at our budget to see what we can do, because whenever we came in with growing, you know, the girls wanted new uniforms. You look at new uniforms, but also equipment is very expensive as well. So we are looking, I think I had to buy brand new volleyballs each for this past year. Actually, the very first year I started, we had to do the volleyballs. But from there, we've added carts, or we've added antennas, or a ref stand where the ref has to be up and standing. Mm-hmm. So those are things that we're looking at adding. Also, to help the girls conditioning-wise, we are looking at having to add agility material as well. But each year we do look at what we can add, like with workout clothing or warm-ups or uniforms. We also go with shoes, because those are very beneficial, because volleyball is a large moving sport.
Yes.
So we have to make sure that what we're wearing is proper attire as well, that the girls enjoy.
Nice.
Wow. That's a bunch. And, you know, it takes a budget every year. It takes parents that are going to support and do the fundraisers. And you know, that can be a slippery slope sometimes, because, and I've talked several times with our guests on here, whether it be in college or high school, that, you know, parents, unfortunately, sometimes only see their kid, and you have to deal with that as a coach. I've been there and done that. And that's just an unfortunate side of being a coach in high school that you actually have to deal with. But it's something that, you know, is ever present, that you have to worry about, but it's a needed evil, you know, along with it. And I don't mean to sound negative about any of that, but it's just something you have to deal with. And, you know, how do you deal when you bring your new parents in and you have your team for the next year? I'm sure you have a beginning meeting where you have the opportunity to tell them how your program works. And for me, it was, you know, we don't talk about playing time. You know, I want to keep my job. I want to win games as much as I possibly can. And we've got a certain amount of positions that kids can play. And if you think that I'm not going to play your kid and they're the best one of the best ones on the team, you know, again, I want to keep my job. So, you know, that therein lies the conversation that sometimes that you have to have. And so how do you handle that going into your team and your new seasons?
So those are conversations that we have. I do not talk about playing time. And my main thing that I explain to parents and players is I will put their six positions out there. I will put the best six out there, because it's all about, you know, getting the job done. I also tell the girls it's like a family. You have to work together to make things happen, which that means you have to work together with fundraising. If you want nice things and you want this organization to build, then you have to help contribute to it. But that's on and off the court. So that is one thing that we do discuss. You know, it is hard with everybody fundraising and them feeling like they're putting in, whether it be fundraising or working out or practicing, you can always be giving 100%, but you have to also look at where you are and what level you're at to see if you need to rise above or work harder because somebody else has that position and you want mm-hmm. that position. So there are those levels that you, as an athlete, I can't have those parents interfering with saying, well, my kid's better than that kid. Well, you may see that, but you know, there's also what I see as a coach, what gets the job done. And your kid may be working really hard, but there might be another space that they need to be working at that somebody has already achieved. So those are things that you have to keep in mind. And it's even like I watch, you know, this year I'm going to be on the other side being a parent and watching my own kids play sports. And those are things that I tell myself, you know, as a parent, like I'm going to have to sit back and realize that I'm not the coach and I have to let them do their job. But I do tell them, like, push my kid. Like, I want you to push them to their limits and utilize their talents if they're hidden. So,
and it's funny. I mean, my conversation, as I told you, I didn't really talk about playing time, but I've talked to other coaches and we've had other folks on the show, and it's, you know, parents can see what their one child does, and you know, that they're mm-hmm. mom and dad, and they want what's best for their kid, and they want their kid on the field, and we understand that, but they have to worry about one, and you know, in my situation, I had to worry about 75.
Correct.
And so, you know, to think that you're not going to do what's best for the team, you know, that's sometimes that's what's insulting, because that is your job.
Right.
And so parents, you know, when you talk to them about it, and they understand that, and they understand that playing time is not ever guaranteed, and it's going to be to who deserves to be on the field or the court or whatever the situation might be. It's interesting. My co-host Mackenzie in the last show we did was with Mark Wilson, athletic director, and it was interesting to hear his take on that side of it. And Mackenzie asked them the question, what do I need to do if I want to be a future student athlete in college? And we'll come back and answer that question and have that discussion.
All right.
Thanks for joining us on Local Matters Sports. We're going to take a quick break and we'll be right back.
What's so important about shopping with locally owned businesses?
When you shop local, your hard-earned dollars stay here in the community, helping to benefit your friends and neighbors, local schools, roads, and all aspects of community life.
But what happens to my money if I spend it online or at a national chain store?
In most cases, the profits go far away, out of state, corporate headquarters, or even overseas.
It doesn't take any extra effort to shop local. Office Mart on South Jefferson in Cookeville is your locally owned office furniture and supply store. For over 35 years, they've been proud to serve businesses in the Upper Cumberland with quality and value. You get real customer service too. And unlike shopping online, you can actually see and try out the large inventory of office furniture in their showroom. And when it's delivered, it's not a box on your step. They're glad to install and set up everything. Office Mart. There's no other locally owned office store in the region. South Jefferson Avenue across from Hardee's. Shop local at Office Mart.
Welcome back to Local Matter Sports. This is your host, Sam Brooks. Got Barbie Cook in the house today, head volleyball coach down at Upperman High School, and my guest host from All Good Middle School, Mackenzie Vester, helping me out today. So back to what we were alluding to when we went to break, Barbie, we had Mark Wilson. He comes on the show a bunch, you know, to give updates at Tennessee Tech. And Mackenzie posed the question, what do I need to do if I want to be a college athlete? Without skipping a beat, Mark's quick answer was, you need to worry about your academics. For us, that's number one. And you need to make good decisions.
Mm-hmm.
And so within that, the character of a student athlete, and in high school, sometimes it's hard to get them to understand that you are a representation of that team on and off the court year round. And there's so many temptations for these mm-hmm. young students nowadays. But if you love the sport and you want to be involved in it, then as a coach, you expect them to do what's right.
Right.
You know, right and wrong's pretty easy mm-hmm. To figure out. It's black and white as can be. You as a coach, you know, character is very important to you. And how they represent you in that school. Can you touch on what that means to you and how you push that out to your student athletes?
Yes, that is actually a conversation that we have at one of our first practices, but I also have it during the parent meeting as well. You know, once you're on this team, you represent this team. And like I've explained before, it's not just a team, it's a family. So when you're out there and in the community or wherever you're at and you have your attire on or you're out there and somebody knows that you're a part of this organization, I mean, that's a big commitment and it's a big responsibility as well. Just like me as a coach, You know, I think about my actions or, you know, what's what I say or do whenever I'm out as well, just to be that example, because I know that I represent these young girls that I coach, and I don't want to do anything that I wouldn't want them to do or say, if that makes sense. But yes, that is very important. Whenever I came in my first year, I had several girls that just academically, they were just, you know, they were great. And I explained to them, they were like, Coach, I want a volleyball scholarship. And, you know, I just told them the important thing right now for you to look at and to focus is academics, because, you know, you can get a scholarship for academics, but then also roll in and just explain, hey, I also play the sport. You know, if it's available, I would like to look at the team or talk to the coach with that team. And so those are very, you know, important conversations to have with athletes, because your sport isn't everything, and it's not going to be everything in life as well. It is a journey that you take. It's an enjoyable journey, but sometimes they can come to an end. I've experienced it too, you know, playing college. Mine was cut short due to a back injury that I had. And so those are things that I had to overcome, and then just kind of focus on, you know, here's school, this is what I've got to go, and then just start my steps from there. So,
yeah. And the focus for, I mean, I love it when students want to be a college athlete. That's great to aspire to. And it takes a lot of work, and it takes extra. I mean, going into your practices only and not putting any extra time into it as an individual is just really not going to get you there.
Correct.
And then on the academic side, these coaches in the NCAA and college now, they get their money now based on kids they graduate.
Right.
So not kids they have in the program or any numbers that they have, but how many of them graduate.
Right.
So that's how they're funded now. And if they don't graduate the numbers they're expected to, they don't get some funding.
Right.
And so that's changed the game.
Right.
And so that's why high school coaches, middle school coaches, everybody is stressing academics so much now, is because that's, if you make below a 3.0 now, colleges will hardly even look at you anymore.
Well, I tell my girls also that they have to have a certain grade point average, but that's also TSSAA ruling. But I explained to them, if you do not have the grades, you do not play. And I said, I don't care if you're the best athlete that we have out there on the court. I mean, when you're a part of a family, you pull your weight to do what you have to do to get the job done. And academics is a big part of that.
Well, we talk about sports so much being a foundation for future endeavors, whether it be college and career or life in general. And that's why it's so, you get so much out of it if you will just pull your weight.
Mm-hmm.
And those skills are so important in the job place, you know, later on when school's all said and done, and it's going to, you know, sports is going to be all said and done for everybody at some point in time. I don't care who you are. If you're lucky enough to make it maybe as far as Tom Brady, then, you know, at 45 and being an NFL quarterback, that's great. But that don't happen a whole lot.
Right.
And so you gotta prepare yourself for what comes next, and having that foundation built to understand what it's like to be a part of a team and work as a member of that team and honor the others as much as you honor yourself is a very important lesson.
Right. And those are conversations that we have. I explain to the girls all the time, I will teach you life lessons on and off the court. And that's just to show them, like, life's not easy all the time. And sometimes you have to learn to rise above, and it takes hard work. Life's not easy. So you have to learn what obstacles that you're going to overcome and what steps you're going to take to get through, to get to where you need to be in life and what kind of person you need to be as well.
Through the years as you have had as a coach, what are some things that you have learned? And what things have you improved on as a coach?
That's a really good question. I never try to stop learning as a coach. And it's funny that you asked that, because I've actually reached out to I have mentor coaches that I reach out to through season, off season, just to get ideas. But also I had a newer mentor coach come into my life, and I said, you know, I'm always willing to learn. I don't think I know it all. And she said, well, you're one of the first coaches I think that I've met that doesn't have that mentality. And my answer to her was, if I stop learning, then I subject my players to stop learning. And I'm always telling them to learn more. Because if they stop learning, then they subject themselves to either a certain level or a certain position, so that doesn't benefit them. So that's where I'm at with coaching. I'm always wanting to learn. I never think I know it all. I also encourage my players that if they see something, respectfully come to me and talk to me about those things, and we can kind of maybe work it out during practice or any scenarios that we need to work on, but in a respectful way. And then, you know, if I think that it's not going to work or it doesn't fit, then I will explain to them, hey, this just doesn't look like it's going to fit. So I always see myself growing as a coach as well. Like even now, as long as I've been coaching, I will sit back sometimes and be like, that's something that I didn't see before that I learned. So I feel like I also learn each year just in my mindset of, okay, this is what I'm doing now. I didn't used to do this, and this is benefiting me and my players.
So, Coach, how hard is it traveling? You work down in Cookeville, and during the season you have to travel a little bit. How hard is that to get back and forth from Upperman back to your, you know, Cookeville or your job?
I try to plan out my day. And that sometimes works out and sometimes it doesn't. But, you know, that means that I have to put things to another time. And that means that I focus on this at this time, and then I have to go back and maybe focus on something else at another time. And it's just kind of maneuvering through being a parent, being a mom, being a coach, you know, having a job. So it's multitasking a lot of times, but I know that for me to be where I need to be for the players is important, because this is something that they're working towards and also wanting to benefit from. But I also have to focus sometimes on my family too, because those are important moments too, that I also have to be mom and a wife. And so those are things that you have to kind of juggle also as a coach, and just kind of realize where to step back and kind of what to put forth at that time. It is a struggle sometimes to kind of get back and forth, but I know that in the long run, it's beneficial, and I see the benefits that pay off at the end. So it just is kind of rewarding in the end as well.
The family aspect is something we definitely want to talk more about. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll come back with Coach Barbie Cook from Upperman High School Volleyball. Welcome back to Local Matter Sports, and thanks for joining us. This is your host, Sam Brooks, and I've got my guest host in the house, Mackenzie Vester, again from All Good Middle School. And we've got Barbie Cook as our main guest today from Upperman High School Volleyball. She is the head coach down at UHS, and we were talking a little bit about what it takes in your season. I want to touch real quick on the success of this past season, because last time you were on, you were in midseason, and you ended up the year with the conference championship, the district championship, which I think is an important measure, because it's not just one game or one tournament series, it's the whole year. And so it had to be pretty rewarding for you to be conference champion there in only your second year of coaching down at UHS.
Yes, that was rewarding. And I'm going to say it wasn't easy. You know, working with teenage girls is never easy, but they came out this year and we put that team together, and they worked hard, and they always strive to be the best. So, you know, also towards the end of season, you kind of start to reach that peak of they're either going to stay and keep going, or, you know, something, we're going to hit a wall and we're going to bounce back. So those are always things that are in the back of your mind of how are they going to react to this situation or that situation. So, and we saw that with our, whenever our district tournament came up, you know, we met Overton County again with Christy Jenkins, and, you know, they were a tough crowd this year. Just, they had great players and they worked really hard just as we did. And we just, you know, we lost at the end, but being first runner up and, you know, being that competitive and having that competition and preparing for what we prepared for, I didn't feel like we had not done what we needed to do. You know, I don't stay here and just play our surrounding areas. We also take them to our regional area, which is down in Chattanooga. So we go and play ball there as well and go to meet the competition there. And they've done great things playing those teams. And then we also go and play Nashville area teams as well. So we're playing these AAA schools as a AA school, and, you know, we're keeping them on their toes, or we're we're actually winning against them. And so that's great for those girls to be able to see that they can play at a different level than where they're at too.
Well, it's great experiences for them. And then as we talked about before, it's not only important to be involved in school ball. And we talked about the kids that may want to move on to college someday. In order to do that, you got to put more into it than just the, you know, the 9-week season that you have when the games start in the fall. And there's a lot of opportunities nowadays that didn't exist, maybe even so much when you were in school. It's really grown dramatically in travel ball and in basketball that, you know, they still have, I guess they call it AAU still. But travel ball is a huge part of these young folks' progress along the way, and not only for the ones that get the opportunity to go to college, but for, you know, other student athletes who just want to get better and be the best they can at that sport.
Absolutely. And I saw that with working with travel under Jamie Cherry, and that was Mojo. But whenever they left, we'd started Focus Athletics. And also during that time, we were seen at these travel tournaments that they were starting at a younger age. Mm-hmm. And that's when I just looked and kind of started seeing what was available and seeing what the interest was around here. And that's when we started working with the girls at a younger age. And so now we start at the age of 8. But I do know that around in the Knoxville and Nashville area, they start with Tiny Tots, which is those lower and younger ages. But that's great. I mean, it works with eye and hand coordination. So, I mean, it just works with so many different levels. And so for us to start at 8 years old, that also helps with our middle school area. And, you know, with the middle school area, that's important for us as high school coaches, because we're getting those girls coming to the level that we're at, and we're needing them to be at a certain level. So for them to start younger and able to get that extra experience as well, that's beneficial for them.
In the travel ball season, as you're going through the travel ball season, what things do you look for throughout, like, the players, and what do you, like, learn through the players that will help you with your high school team? Or, like, what do you see, like, in the players that you may want to push your high school girls to do as well?
So this season, we actually had 15 different high schools, or actually schools in general, that we had girls from. So that was very interesting, and also getting to meet coaches from different areas and just talking to them about what their expectations were for their girls. We don't always play those girls that are on the same team, high school teams or middle school teams. We don't always play them together. So it's also for them getting to learn just different areas, but also they may not play the same position that they're used to as well. So that goes back to me explaining you need to learn every position on the court, because you never know where you're needed. But I always tell every coach that I work with, because we also had newer coaches this year, we take our graduating seniors that will leave us, and we kind of work with them to see if they want to coach, and we bring them back so that they can learn to be coaches. So those, we had some of those this year. So I explained to either new coaches or coaches that are coming up and learning and just working with us and interning with us that, you know, you need to know your players. And that's, you need to know them mentally, physically, just understanding where they're coming from when they step on that court. Have they had a good day? Have they had a bad day? Mm-hmm. If you, can you yell at them and light a fire under them? Or if you yell at them, will it mentally shut them down? So those are things that you have to learn. And, you know, as a director, I had to fill in sometimes for those coaches because they couldn't make it for the weekends. So I had to learn very quickly about each girl from each team, you know, what worked for that team and what didn't work for that team with coaching styles, because every girl and every team has a different coaching style. So those are things that you just got to realize. But with travel ball, you got to see them grow. And that's one thing that I'm always interested in, because they're having to learn each other also, because they're not playing with the same girls that they're used to or the same positions that they're used to. So it's always fun to watch them get excited about and see how far they've come from the beginning, which is normally about January when we start, and we end in about April. And just to see them and realize how much they've grown from the beginning to the end is very beneficial.
Yes.
Yeah, so you have a unique perspective in the fact that you're a high school head coach and you also run the travel ball. I've had this question a lot and talked with college coaches a lot about it. When is it too much for a student athlete?
You know, that's a very good question because they are pushed to their limits. If they're willing to work, because I tell my girls all the time, you can't take in from practice or from season. You have to work on and off the court. And, you know, they need to find a focus too and know what their limits are as well as an athlete. But they also have to have people to help them understand that as well, because teenage girls do not always understand that. And young athletes in general don't. So it's also great for them to have a mentor to be able to see like what their workouts need to be, what their eating habits need to be, because they're constantly going. But if they're willing to make it a career, then having somebody to help them understand their limits is beneficial as well.
You got a good one down there this year that you've been working with for a long time. Of course, you had one sign this year, and I think it was Mary, was it Bondurant?
We've had several from travel that had signed. Yeah. So Mary Grace signed.
Grace, yeah.
Yes, she signed. And then also Gracie Wilson from Jackson County that formerly played with us, she also signed. So also to be invited to that and just see them grow and see them, you know, go on with their volleyball careers is beneficial as well and rewarding as a coach.
We got Lila Cade, who started since she was a freshman, been all district since she was a freshman, and you got her going into her senior year this year, and she's just an exceptional player and being recruited by a few folks already. So what are your thoughts on her going into her senior season?
You know, she's excited, and also she's a part of our 18s team that are going to nationals here in June. So it's been very beneficial to watch her in her travel season and just watch how much she gets to just go up against competition that we haven't seen here, or even regionally what we haven't seen here. So, and then just to get to see how her recruiting process is going as well. It's just been very beneficial.
Mackenzie touched on this before, but you had the opportunity to watch Lila from a very young age, that she couldn't hardly get it over the net the first time that I saw her out there, and now to see how good she has gotten in that growth from, I guess, sixth grade, was it, on to now going in her senior year. That's got to be exciting for you to be involved in from beginning to end.
It is, but I have to say for Lila, it's also seeing how humble she is as an athlete, because you just don't see players like that. And just to see all the younger girls also just look up to her, and she'll go and attend the middle school games as well, so that, you know, what they would want her to come and watch them, and she will. So that's just also rewarding to see. But, you know, she puts in the work, and I've seen her put in for off season, and then what she does during school, and she's always just that great teammate and that leader that just wants to get the job done.
So what, real quick, going into next year, it looks like you have a pretty good team coming back. What are your expectations and thoughts going into next season?
You know, I've kind of touched on this a little bit. We've gone as far as we've gone each year, and I mean, all you can do is go up. And so that's my mentality this year, is just to keep pushing through to get further than we've been in the past years.
I think UHS is definitely set for that. And, you know, you talk about steps and progression. That's definitely the next step for you guys. So congratulations on your quick success down there, and good luck in the off season. Hopefully everybody will stay healthy.
Yes.
And it'll be here before you know it. So we'll get you back on next season, see how you're doing, and then go from there. But we appreciate you being here. And Mackenzie, we appreciate you being our guest host again from All Good Middle School.
Yes, thank you.
And thank you all for joining us today on Local Matters Sports. And we'll see you next time.